97.1 FM Talk. On demand audio. This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. This is the Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
Oh, I'm so excited for Mizzou football tonight. Arkansas Pine Bluff. I hope it's a blowout. Get to see Austin Simmons as the Mizzou quarterback. The North End Zone project is complete, and the stadium looks amazing. Chris Gervino, my old journalism school friend, we went back in the mid-80s to J school. Chris is just a little younger than I. He never left Columbia. He was a very successful sports anchor at KOMU and KMIZ, and he's on the Tigers radio network for both basketball and football. He's going to join us at the bottom of the hour. We have United States Senator Eric Schmidt, the former official state senator of the Mark Reardon Show, on the phone with us this evening. How are you? Are you in Missouri or Washington?
I'm in Missouri. I'm actually on Highway 70 right now, Mark, headed to Columbia, Missouri, to watch your Missouri Tigers blow out Arkansas Pine Bluff.
I knew you were going to say that, and that makes me mad. Damn it, because I was going to ask you that, and I kind of figured you were going. Unbelievable. Oh, yeah. But have you been inside the stadium since the completion of the North End Zone?
Yeah, a couple weeks ago, I went down for the Coach Drinkwitz had me come down for the final scrimmage they had on a Saturday, and I got to see the new North End Zone. It's phenomenal. Like, it's actually really, really nice. It encloses the stadium, but the suites that they have there and these old tiger dens they have, where it's like this outdoor seating where you have a bunch of people, it's first class. And they've really upgraded not only the football program, but all the amenities. They're going to be celebrating that 1960 national championship team here in a couple weeks too.
So dude, there's a Shakespeare's pizza in there now.
I know. So I'm interested to see all that stuff that's going to be there. They should have a good team, too.
All right, let's get to some business here, because I do want to talk about some lighter stuff at the end. But let's talk about the Protect College Sports Act. This is so darn important, and it's coming on the heels, by the way, of a federal judge, as you know, in California, where you're trying to make a policy in California to prevent biological males to play against girls, and a judge, you know, puts that on hold. But you're a sponsor of this particular legislation. President Trump's behind it. Riley Gaines, Jen Say, all the people that are out there as voices in this particular fight are behind it. But tell us about the possibilities here moving forward and what this legislation would actually do.
Well, it's just important. I think with every passing week, Mark, you see another instance in some court case that just throws college athletics into complete chaos. And so that's what the legislation attempts to do. There's only one entity. And basically, to understand the reason why, it's that all of the rule, like, let's say the NCAA wants to have a 5-year eligibility rule, or they want to not allow pro players to come back. Those rules are just being thrown out because they don't have the authority to enforce them. So what the legislation does, it gives limited antitrust protection to a governing body to say, we have the ability to enforce a 5-year eligibility. We have the ability to enforce a one-time transfer rule. And that's what it does at the heart of it. It allows for that to happen, finally, to sort of end this chaos. Nick Saban just cut an ad that's going to be playing over the weekend. I think the public's becoming more and more aware of just how insane this whole thing is. And so, as I told you before on your show, if you had asked me if Congress had a role in this a few years ago, I'd have been somewhat skeptical. But it literally is the only entity on the planet that can grant this sort of authority to the NCAA to enforce their rules.
Yeah, well, you basically said what I was just going to say, because I ordinarily, and you know this philosophically, you're the same way, the gut instinct is, man, government getting involved doesn't usually help things, but it's the Wild West. And you have the support not only of Nick Saban, but the conference commissioners from the SEC, Greg Sankey, and the Big Ten supported this piece of legislation as well. Maybe more groups than that, but you have support here from the conferences, right?
Absolutely, and because everybody understands. And it's also important to point out, for the first time in federal law, there'll be protections for these student-athletes. You can't lose a scholarship because of an injury. There's health care coverage while you're in school and after you're in school. So there's a lot of protections for the athletes. And there's also protections to sort of crack down on some of these unscrupulous agents who are just churning these players, selling them a bill of goods about what's on the other side of the transfer portal. And there's terrible stories. They're taking 30-40% of them going to a program that's a lesser program and less money. It is totally wild, wild west right now.
I think we're just probably on the edge of hearing some more crazy stories like that, just because it is the wild west. So you do have some bipartisan support on this, right?
Yes, it's very bipartisan, and we're just trying to, you got to have 60 votes coming out of the Senate. We're working on that. Maria Cantwell, who's a Democrat from the state of Washington. Maria and I probably don't vote the same way on almost anything, but we are working together in earnest. We've been on conference calls as late as 11 o'clock at night earlier this week, just making sure that we're doing everything we can to make sure we have the votes to get this done. The president is very interested in this. I can tell you, I talk to him about it all the time. He's a sports guy. He's not like some, he actually, you know,
he's knowledgeable.
He loves golf.
Yes.
He's very knowledgeable. He wants to do something about this because he, like most of America that's paying attention to this, this just isn't sustainable. I mean, LSU has a $50 million football roster and trying to bring back pro athletes now into their program, and nobody can do anything about it because there are no rules. So I think it's important for the listeners to know Congress isn't going to like be in there, you know, being the commissioner, but having basic rules set forth in statute that can be enforced by a governing body like the one-time transfer and 5-year eligibility window is important. You just can't have 27-year-olds competing against 17-year-olds.
It's ridiculous. So I support you on this because there has to be some solutions to this moving forward. Hey, you had a great experience. I think it was Monday when you went over, and I know this about you because we've known each other for a long time. Your dad worked a long time for AB, and you went over to the brewery and had a little bit of an event on Monday, didn't you?
Yeah, it's really to celebrate Anheuser-Busch's commitment to manufacturing here in this country. You have great Americans brewing great American beer, and that's certainly part of my family's story. With my dad working there for 25 years, the midnight shift, my uncle worked there for almost 30 years. I had cousins that worked there. I gave tours at Grant's Farm, thankfully, before cell phones were around and people couldn't record all of the things.
Was that like a summer gig for you?
Yeah, I
That's
did it in
great.
Two summers. I gave tours. It was great. But they brought in this new A&E Eagle sign that was from the Newark Brewery that's part of the St. Louis skyline now. It's just, I'm always appreciative of the commitment, not to the community, not only to the community, but really American manufacturing. When a lot of companies were sending jobs overseas, Anheuser-Busch has continued to invest right here in America. And so we were able to celebrate some of that on Monday.
That's awesome. Congratulations on that. All right. I've saved some of the tougher questions for last. Are you ready? Because I have to grill you on some stuff here.
Sure.
I won't play the soundbite because it'll waste your time. It's like a minute. I'm going to play in a little bit. But J.D. Vance, the vice president, your good friend, was asked today about how much sauerkraut he eats in his diet. And this has become a topic in Washington, D.C. because of Bobby Kennedy. How much sauerkraut does Senator Schmidt eat on a regular basis? You have leaned down. We've noticed. You've gotten in shape. The gym's at play here. But is sauerkraut also a factor, Eric?
You know what? I don't. J.D. does the RFK thing with the fermented vegetables. So basically, I kind of like high-protein carnivore stuff, a lot of beef jerky in the afternoon.
Right.
And high-protein stuff. But those guys do the sauerkraut thing, and I think RFK Jr. actually has a cooler with sauerkraut he carries around with him. My wife and I, Jamie, went to dinner with him and Cheryl Hines, and he is religious about this thing. It seems to work, but I'm more just carnivore, not sauerkraut.
That's
although
because
with a name like Eric Schmidt, sauerkraut would make some sense.
But that sounds disgusting. And I even like a little sauerkraut on a brat now and again, but I don't think that's something I would make a regular staple of my diet. By the way, you mentioned Cheryl Hines. Was she in town recently? Yeah. Did I see that?
Yeah, we had her in and Rachel Campos Duffy to come in and promote ABLE accounts. As you know, working with individuals with disabilities and allowing them to save like you would for a loved one for college is really important. So it doesn't count against the cap that they have for savings to receive benefits. It allows them to save. We heard people come in, individuals who are saving just for a car, things that, you know, you take for granted. We want everybody to have access to that kind of tax advantage savings accounts. Cheryl Hines is a big advocate for people with disabilities. She added a little star power to the event. And she's a lot of fun, too, so I'm glad she's helping out. But, yeah, she was in St. Louis with us last week.
I love it. All right, another tough question here. Why did you, United States Senator Eric Schmidt, give Scottie Scheffler hand, foot, and mouth at the BMW Championship?
I did not. Fake news.
Okay. Are you sure? Because I don't
you
know.
Were there. You were there. As you were there as a heckler on the eighth hole. Maybe you did it.
I don't think I've talked to you since, but how much damn fun was that? My goodness.
It was so cool. It was so cool. It's one of those things in life that I'm sure I'll be telling stories from that for as long as I'm alive. It was just really cool to see somebody who literally is at the very top of his profession. I mean, he continued to win, and he won over this past weekend, too, the FedEx Cup. Just him go about his business to talk about his kind of routine. He travels with his family. He was asking me about, you know, what it's like to be in the Senate on some issues. We actually talked about the Protect College Sports Act, just those kind of conversations you can have on a golf course. It was a lot of fun.
Well, one of the things that I've always said about you is, and one of the reasons that I like you is because, you know I've said this about you. You're a real person. And Scotty feels like, you know, like he's a real person, despite all that air above him. I mean, he's at the top of the world with some of this. Tiger is, too. But he seems to have a pretty realistic demeanor about him.
Yes, very down to earth. That was my impression. And my wife, Jamie, was walking the course with me. My daughter, Olivia, was. I had Olivia take one of the putts. I think it was on 7, and he gave her a fist pump, and there's a cool picture of that that we'll have framed for Olivia. But
that's amazing.
No, it was just a great day. He was a great guy. Very,
and look,
very generous.
It was a great, St. Louis was featured finally in a very positive way. I mentioned, you know, the Savannah Bananas were here that same weekend, and it was just an awesome week for St. Louis. It really was.
I got to meet Jim Nantz the next day.
Oh, awesome.
I think it was on Sunday, and you know, he was actually bragging about St. Louis and how the fans always show up. And he was talking about he was here in 92 with the PGA. He was here in 2018 with the PGA. These guys who travel around the country know how great a sports fan St. Louis are for anything, even for golf. I mean, everything we show up for, there are 155,000 people there. Belle Reeve did a great job. We should get more events, I think, on the tour.
I know that you went back, maybe you were there Saturday and Sunday, but did you see Gary Woodland's shot? I think it was on Friday on the ninth hole, his tee shot. What happened?
No.
Okay, so this makes every amateur golfer, even someone as good as you, feel good. He literally topped a hybrid, and the ball did not go past the lady's tees. You got to pull this up. And then he recovered extremely well. That he was only on 9, so that could have really ruined him. You know, he's got the PTSD issues. But Eric, you have to pull it up because it just makes you feel good that a professional golfer did that as well. I mean, he just completely topped it. It was crazy.
I did see that. You know, the other thing that was kind of funny too, because he's a KU guy.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And people were in the gallery, good-natured fun, were dropping MIZs, I think.
But it was good-natured. It was. Look, that guy, it's an incredible story. It really, I'm a fan of his. All right, listen, have fun tonight, but we got to talk a little bit about the Cardinals. I've been falling asleep too early. Shame on me. A couple of great nights in Los Angeles. Look, they're giving us some hope with seeing these new kids. I don't think the playoffs are in play, but it's a lot of fun seeing two guys that have 100 RBIs in Burleson and Jordan Walker. How about that?
I agree. Like, the way I came into this season was, okay, I didn't expect them to win the World Series, but there's a vision, there's a plan, and the way I look at it is, who are going to be the core players on the next great team the Cardinals are going to have? And it's a couple few years away, but I think we're starting to see that kind of emerge with Jordan Walker, and Burleson has really kind of come into his own. And then you got, and they got so much pitching in the pipeline, Mark. They have the number one rated, for what it's worth, prospect, you know, the minor league rating in the country or in MLB. So they haven't had that in a long time. They have not had this many arms in the minor leagues as long as I've been alive. You could go back maybe to the mid-80s when they had some guys who were coming through, but they've got a lot of power arms. They're building this franchise for the future. It's fun to see some of these guys step up that you can see as core players for the long term. I think that's a lot of fun and why I think fans are responding.
Listen, have fun tonight. I'm jealous I can't be there. I'm going to get to a game soon enough. But Mizzou tonight, 7 o'clock kickoff. I'll be watching the whole game. Thank you, Senator Schmidt. I appreciate it. Tell Jamie I said hey.
All right, Mark.
All right. Yeah,
okay,
we'll see you. Take care.
Get more at 971talk.com.